Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Kiddushin Daf Chof Beis. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage, and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 6 lines from the top of Daf Chof Beis. You will notice a triangle and a number 2 to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. We're continuing with the series of Tanaic sources that deal with the Eved Ivri that was Nirtzah, that had his ear bored. This is a series that we started in our previous shiur. The topic heading that accompanies this section of Gemara you will find on the side, in the margin where we have the Nosei topic heading written, and we've written in Mosai Boi Lomar Sheroitz Lishor. At what point does the Eved Ivri, the Jewish servant who wants to stay beyond his 6-year mandated work period, does he have to express that interest? The Gemara Im Omor Yomar. We're quoting from Shmos Perek Chof Aleph Pasuk Hey. You can see on the side of the Gemara we've included the entire Pasuk, which reads, V'im Omor Yomar Ho'eved, Ohavti Es Adoni, Es Ishti, V'es Bonai, Lo Eitzei Chofshi. So we're going to now analyze that Pasuk phrase by phrase, and from here we derive Ad Shiyomar V'yishne. The Gemara says that the double expression Omor Yomar means there has to be a doubling on his part of his expression to remain. And when we speak about remaining, we understand from what we've seen already in the past, he remains till the Yovel year. The Gemara presents a couple of scenarios. The first, Omar Betchilas Sheish V'lo Omar Besov Sheish. Here we're going to translate, leaving room for the Gemara to offer additional explanation. Right now we're in the middle of a Tanaic source, which, as we've seen many times, is itself not clear. When you see the Gemara's explanation, of course, you'll see how we've enhanced the understanding. So here we're translating. He says, if the slave says at the beginning of 6, and he doesn't say at the end of 6, Eino Nirza, then he will not have his ear bored. He won't remain. He didn't double the expression or his expressed interest in remaining. Shenemar, the Pasuk says, Lo Eitzei Chofshi. And that tells us, Ad Shiyomar Bishas Yitziah. He has to say, express his interest to remain at the point he would otherwise be leaving. So that in this scenario where he says at the beginning of 6 and not at the end of 6, so he's not saying his point, he's not saying his piece that he wants to say at the end of his servitude. Now the flip side, Omar Basov Sheish V'lo Omar Betchilas Sheish, if he says at the end of 6 and not at the beginning of 6, Eino Nirza, he won't have his ear bored, he won't remain, Shenemar Im Omor Yomar Ho'eved. And here we emphasize the word ho'eved, at shiyomar kshu eved. He has to say his piece while he is a servant. And if he's going to speak up only at the end of 6, the thinking is, well, he's not a servant. Omar Mor. Now we analyze this source. Omar betchilas sheish, velo omar besof sheish. If he speaks at the beginning of 6, now the thinking is at the beginning of his work period, at the beginning of his servitude, the beginning of the six years. So if he says at the beginning and not at the end, Eino Nirza, Shenemar Lo Eitzei Chofshi. And we saw above that it's not sufficient because he's not saying at the time he is leaving. But when is he speaking up? He's speaking up at the beginning of the 6 years. In other words, as soon as he walks in the door, he says, I want to stay beyond the 6 years. My iria milo eitzei chofshi. Why prove that he doesn't remain from the posuk that says lo, from the phrase lo etzei chavshi tepuk lei, you still have another reason for disqualifying this as being an attempt on his part to remain. Deboinon ohafti es adoni es ishti v'es bonai v'leka. If tchilas sheish means literally as he walks in the door to start his 6 year tenure of servitude, you don't have the, we'll say, the element that motivates him to want to stay, namely I love my master. That he might have instant instant chemistry with him, but es ishti ves bonai, the ishti is a reference to the heathen bondmaid that he would be given and the children that she would bear through him, and that doesn't exist as at the beginning of the 6 years. So to think that the source which says he speaks up at the beginning of six, meaning literally as he walks in the door to start his work period, even without citing lo etzei chavshi, that's not going to come close to what the Torah envisions regarding a slave that wants to continue working beyond the 6 years. At the beginning of six, he doesn't have these elements, the attachment to the ishti and the bonai, the heathen bondmaid and the children that she produced. Fasu, furthermore, omar b'sof sheish v'lo omar b'tchilas sheish, this too is a quote from the source above. We have little marks to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text where you can see where this quote comes from. So if he spoke up, we had the second scenario where he speaks up at the end of six and not at the beginning of six. Eino nirza, he doesn't have his ear bored. He won't remain. Shenemar ho'eved. He's supposed to speak up when he is a slave. And by speaking up at the end of six, so he's not a slave. Is that true, though? Otu sov sheish lav eved hu. When he comes to the end of the 6 years, but he's still an eved till he finally leaves. So why do you say that speaking up at the end of six doesn't qualify as speaking while he is an Eved? Omar Rava. So Rava explains, but when we speak about his speaking up at the beginning and the end, we're not talking at the beginning of the 6 years. We're talking about the beginning of the very last pruta worth of activity. If just for illustration purposes we say that the pruta is a smallest denomination of currency, and it has a value, a pruta. If you say that a pruta's worth of work would take, let's say, 15 minutes of 15 minutes of work would be worth a pruta, just for illustration purposes. So he is expected to speak up, I want to stay, before the clock starts ticking the last 15 minutes of his 6 year tenure. So he has to say at that point, I want to stay, and he has to repeat before the 15 minutes are up, somewhere into the middle of those 15 minutes, he has to speak up again. At the end of those 15, when he's once the clock is ticked into those last 15 minutes, let's say at the 7 minute mark before the 6 years end, at that 7 minute mark, the amount of work that remains is less than a pruta in value. At that point, he's not considered an eved anymore. An eved is someone who has a work obligation worth a minimum amount of currency, a minimum of a pruta. But at that point, he's not working for a value of a pruta anymore. We take a look at Rashi, who explains these points, and we look across from here. Omar Rava betchilas pruta achrona v'sod pruta achrona v'lo garsinan lo kashi v'lo garsinan kan v'hachi pirusha. After dismissing different versions of the text, Rashi explains this is how to understand things. Kol tchilas sheish dekotoni, the reference to beginning of six, kishimagia lehaschil L'soif pruta achrona, l'fi cheshbon gir'oina. We're talking about when he's about to begin the last pruta of work, according to the, you have to calculate and prorate the value of his work in according to his, we'll say, his skills and his total value vis-a-vis the time left. Shadayin olav shaveh pruta. And you have to calculate at what point in time will be his last pruta worth of work. Dehave demei eved. Demei eved means that's a value of a slave. He's still a slave at that point. V'chol soif sheish dekotoni me'achar shehizchil bo nikro soif. After he started working into that last unit of time, that last pruta worth of work, that's called end. The lav eved, who is not a slave at that point anymore, the ain't a love shove pruta. He doesn't have a shove pruta worth of work. The hachi ka omar. Omar betchilas sheish, koidem pruta achrona, the kfar yesh lo isho banim. He speaks up before that last pruta worth of work, but at that point he has the wife, the heathen bondmaid, and he has those children she produced that he's expressing his attachment to. Velo besov sheish. If he spoke up at the beginning of sheish, meaning before the last pruta worth of work set in, but he didn't repeat himself at sof sheish. What does that mean? La'achar shehizchil pruta achrona, eino nirtza. If he didn't speak up a second time after he started already doing that last pruta worth of work, we gave the example before. Since the pruta would be worth 15 minutes of work, he didn't speak up at some time less than 15 minutes left. Eino nirtza. V'afilu omar v'shona. Even if he spoke up twice, but he didn't do so within that last pruta worth of time. Dechtiv lo etzei chavshi. Samuch liyitzia. He has to speak up right next to, right before his departure. V'chol zman sheyesh alav pruta shleima, and as long as there is a total of a pruta worth of work or more, lav samuch liyitzia. It's not considered immediately preceding his departure. E omar v'shona b'sof pruta achrona, v'lo omar b'tchilas pruta achrona, eino nirtza. And likewise, if he spoke up and repeated himself, but into that last pruta worth of time, at the 7 minute mark he said I want to stay, and at the 6 minute mark he said he wanted to stay, not enough. Shenemar im yomar ho'evet. It speaks ad shiyomar ch'evet. He has to speak up while he is still a slave. And as we said, when you're into that last pruta worth of work time, he's no longer considered a slave because you don't have a full pruta worth left to do. We turn back to the Gemara text and we encounter a new source. On the side of the Gemara, we have a Nosei topic heading, Tnoyim Hame'akfim Horetzia. Different conditions or elements that will restrict the boring of the ear. Tonu Rabbanan, lo isha ubonim ularaboy ein isha ubonim. Eino nirtza. If the servant has a wife and children, but the master does not have a wife and children, there's no boring. Shenemar ki ahevecha v'es beisecha. The servant is declaring, I have affinity towards you and your household. And if the master doesn't have a household, so it doesn't fit into the scheme or to the model established by the Torah. A second situation, l'rabo isha ubonim v'lo ein isha ubonim eino nirtza. If the master has a wife and children, but the servant does not, also there's no boring of the ear. There's no remaining. Shenemar ohafti es adoni es ishti v'es bonai. The servant expresses that I have affinity toward my master, my wife, and my children. Who ohev es rabo v'rabo eino ohavo eino nirtza. If the servant has affinity toward the master, but it's not mutual, there is no boring of the ear. Shenemar ki tov lo imoch. The pasuk expresses the sense of togetherness, mutual affinity. Rabo yavuvu hu eino ohev es rabo. If the master has affinity toward the servant and the servant not in return, eino nirtza. There's no boring of the ear. Shenemar ki ahevecha. The pasuk says that he adores you. The master adores you, the servant. Let us just go over that last point to correct our inaccuracy. Rabo ohavo, vahu eno oheves rabo. If the master has affinity toward the servant, but the servant does not have affinity toward his master, eno nirtza, there is no boring of the ear. Shenemar ki ahevecha. The pasuk describes a servant that has affinity toward the master. And if that was lacking, so once again, we don't have the model described by the Torah for remaining on. Hu chayle v'rabo eino chayle, eino nirtza. If the servant is ailing and the master is healthy, there's no boring of the ear. Shenemar, ki tov lo imoch. It has to be good for him with you. It has to be good for him, the servant. And if he's ailing, so he's not in good straits. Rabo chayle v'hu eino chayle. If the master is ailing and the servant is not, eino nirtza. There is no boring of the ear. Shenemar, imoch. Together with you. In other words, they would have to be on the same level. Just like he has to be, just like the master is described as having to be healthy, so to the servant. And naturally, if the master is ailing and the servant is not, so it's, you lack this element of imoch, of togetherness. Poi Rav Bevai Bar Abaye, Shnehem Choylim Mai. Rav Bevai asks, what would be if both are ailing, the master and the servant? Imoch Bo'in Voika. Do we say that the main consideration is imoch, togetherness? They are together. They are in the same straits, and that you have. So there would be a reason for boring the ear. Or possibly Odilma Kitov lo imoch Bo'inon. We require them to be together, but in Tov, in good straits, for Haleka, and that would not be the case if they're both ailing, Teku. This remains unresolved. Tonu Rabbanon. On the side we have a topic heading, Kitov lo imoch, Cheva Sa'odin Lesapik Tnoim Tovin Levin. The obligation of the master to provide good conditions for his Jewish servant. The source, Kitov lo imoch, imcha b'maichol, imcha b'mishte. Together in food, together in drink. Shelo tehe. You have to avoid the following. Ata oichel pas nekiv oichel pas kevor. Where you're eating bread made of, let's say, fine, clean flour, and he's eating the poor quality bread called pas kevar. Ata shoysi yayin yoshan vu shoysi yayin chodesh, where you are drinking aged wine which is higher quality, and he is drinking fresh wine which is not the same level. Ata yoshin al gabi muchen vu yoshin al gabi tevin, where you are sleeping on soft material muchen and he's sleeping on straw which is not as comfortable. Mikan omru, from here we say, from here it has been said, kol akina eved ivri kakina odoin lasmo. Anyone who purchases a Jewish slave, Jewish servant, it's as if he's purchasing a master for himself. In light of all the provisions you have to go out of your way to make sure he has, that is in effect accepting upon yourself a type of master. Tonu Rabbonon. We have a posuk that deals with someone sold, a Jew sold to another Jew. On the side of the Gemara, the topic heading reads, the Nose, Chivas Odon Lidoik Litzorchi Mishpachte Shel Ha'evid Ivri Shalov. The obligation of the master to care for the family of the Jewish servant. Tonu Rabbonon. V'yotza Me'imoch Hu Uvonov Imoi. At the end of the work period, it says that he will depart from you, him and his children along with him. And the reference to children here is a reference to children that he had before he started the servitude. Omar Rabbi Shimon. you're going to see that we've highlighted the name Rabbi Shimon in this source, where he makes two comments. In who Nimkar, if he was sold, that does it mean Bonov Uvnoisov Minim Karim, his children, were they sold as well? The Pasuk indicated that at the end of the work period, so he departs along with his children, which would indicate that his original children that he had from his Jewish wife are departing with him, indicating that they had been sold. But that's not true. Mikan, from this we learn, Sheraboy Chayev Mezenis Bonov, that the master of the Jewish servant, that master is obligated to support the children that this Jewish fellow had before his work period. Kayotze Badover Ato Imer Im Baal Ishahu V'yotze Ishto Imo. The Pasuk says, if the servant happened to have been a married man, it's he and his wife leave at the end of the service period. Amar Rabbi Shimon, im hu nimkar ishto mi nimkara. If he was sold into servitude, does that mean his wife was also sold into servitude, that the Pasuk describes her as now leaving? So what does it mean? Mikan, from here we see, Shiraboy Chayov b'mezoinis ishto, the master is obligated to care for the maintenance, for the food, maintenance of the servant's wife. Utsricha, I need the Torah to speak about both his children and his wife. The Yashmina Bonov, had the Torah obligated the master to maintain the servant's children, Mishum Delo B'nei Mevedu Mechal Ninu, they're kids, they're youngsters, they're minors, and they're not capable of working and supporting themselves. Avol Ishto, the Bas Mechal Mevedi, his wife, who is an adult, she's capable of producing her own income. I might have said, let's insist that she works and provides her own support. The Yashmin and Ishto, and had the Torah spoken only of the master's obligation, or obligated the master only with regard to his wife, the Lav Dirka Laduri, it's not the way of women to knock on doors for assistance. Avol Bonov, his young children, the Dirkayu Laduri, it's common for young children to seek assistance from members of the public. Amolo, so maybe the master isn't obligated to support them, let them fend for themselves. Tzricho, therefore, the Torah spells out that not only for the wife of the servant, but the children he has as well, that master is obligated to support them during the period of servitude. Tanu Rabbanan. We continue at the top of Amud Beis. The source that we're going to learn now takes us till the Mishnah, as you can see, on the side of the Gemara under the Nosei. The topic heading, we've written, Hayrois al Bitzua Horitzia. These are instructions on the actual act of boring the ear. There's a pasuk that we'll look at together before we go on in the Gemara. We featured it on the side, Dvarim Perek, Tezvav Pasuk, Yud Zayin. It says, V'lokachta samartzea, and you'll take the awl, A-W-L, V'nosata b'ozno uvadeles, V'hoylecha eved oylam, V'af la'moscha ta'ase kein. The awl, which is a pointy implement, used in this case for making the hole in his ear, and the Pasuk describes it being placed in his ear and the door, and he will then be a slave for you till the Jubilee year. Now we turn to the Gemara text. Ilu Nemar Oznoi Badeles. The Pasuk doesn't say that. It says Be Ozno Uvadeles. But had it said Ozno Badeles, Now, you see we have brackets. Let's skip it just to maintain the flow of the accurate reading. Ha-yisi oimer, I would have thought, yiratzena la-oizen me-ivroi, you would make a hole in his ear at some distance from the door, v'yanicheno al-hadeles, and then you would draw his ear to the door, v'yidkar keneged ozno badeles. And then from the other side of the door, the other side from where his ear is, he would start making a hole in the door. Talmud Lomar be'ozno uvadeles. So the phrasing of the pasuk be'ozno uvadeles discounts that scenario. So how is it done? Ha ketzad? And the source will go on to describe that. Let us go back over the bracketed section. The bracketed section contains that which is technically inaccurate. So that's why we wanted to skip it, to give you a sense of the right reading, the final reading. Now let's go over it again from the beginning. Ilu ne'mar ozno badeles, ho yisi omer, I would have thought, yidkar keneged ozno badeles. You would start drilling or making piercing the door. The door itself, opposite the ear, but not the ear itself. Delis in Osno Lo. That's what I would have thought. The Gemara asks, would you really have thought that? The Ozen Lo? You would have thought that you would penetrate, you would pierce the door alone, not the ear? Foxi Vorotza Adonov Es Osno Bamarzea. The pasuk clearly spells out the making of a hole in his ear. So you can't raise a possibility of what I would have thought if I never would have thought it. Elo, ho yisi oimer, I would have thought, yiratzena lo yisi mevroi. You make a hole in the ear, but at some distance from the door. V'anicheno al adeles, and then you place his ear opposite the door, and from the other side, v'yidkor keneged ozno badeles, and then from the other side of the door, start making a hole in the door. Talmud loimar, therefore the pasuk says, Biozno uvadeles. Ha ketzat, so how is it done? Doiker vahelech ad shemagia etzel deles. You place the ear up along the door and start penetrating the ear until the tip of the marzea, the awl, hits the door. So the ear and the door, the ear is on the is up against the door. You start making the hole in the ear, boring into it until you get to the door. The word delis, shome ani bein arkura uvein sheina arkura. As far as the positioning of the door is concerned, I would think it means whether the door is attached to the door frame, or it's lying on the floor, it's or detached, standing somewhere else. Talmud Lomar mezuzah. The pasuk says in Shmos Perichof Aleph pasuk Vav v'gisho el hadeles o el hamezuzah. So there's a juxtaposition of deles with mezuzah, ma mezuzah mu'umad, just like the doorposts are doorposts only when they're standing, when they're fixed into place. Af deles nami mu'umad. So to the door spoken of in the pasuk is a door that's fixed into place. That's attached to the doorway. Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai, we've highlighted these names with a double underline, as we see on the side under the Nosei Mivneh. These are rabbis, and a diamond will follow. Kamin Chomer, that's the expression that we've put in the diamond. These are Droshos, Hamasbiros, Hasimius Be'izin V'delis B'inyan Ratzia. These explanations are here to explain the symbolism behind these elements, the ear and the door. What is their association with the boring that we are speaking of? So, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai hoyadershes amikra zeh kemin chomer. Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai used to explain this pasuk kemin chomer, what that expression means and how to translate it, there are quite a few different approaches to it, but we're not going to give a translation, but rather we'll just the Tosis at the top quotes Rashi, says Pirusha Kunchus Sor Margolia, so Besamim Shetoli B'Tzavir Noshim Tatshit, either a string of pearls or perfumes that a woman hangs around her neck that have also a decorative purpose. And Rabbeinu Tam Pirush Chomer Maisa, a story. So Rabban Yochanan Zakkai used to approach this pasuk as if it's telling us a story. What's the story? Ma nishtana oizen mikol evarm shebeguf. What's different about the ear that it was chosen above all other limbs of the body? Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, oizen sheshama keli al har Sinai b'shal shamati, the ear that heard my voice at Mount Sinai when I said kili b'nei Yisrael avodim avodai heim, I proclaim that the Jewish people are my servants. And we infer velo avodim le'avodim, and they're not servants of other servants. Meaning the Jewish people themselves are my servants. If you declare yourself to be a servant, we're talking about a Jewish servant of Jews, so then you're the servant of a servant. And that's not what the Almighty wants. V'holach ze v'kona odon latzmo, and this guy went, and after his tenure, after his 6 years, he wants to remain as a servant. Yirotza means let him be, let his ear that heard that he shouldn't be doing this, let it be bored. Reb Shimon ben Rebbe Hoyodorish is a mikra zekim in Chomer. Reb Shimon ben Rebbe likewise approached this pasuk, a different aspect of the pasuk, as a Chomer. It's a story. Ma nishtana delas mezuzah mikol kelim shebabayis. What's different about, or unique about, the door and the doorposts from all other entities of the house? Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, delas mezuzah shu edim mitzrayim b'shosh shepasachti ala mashkof al shtei hamezuzos. The door and the doorposts that were witnesses in Egypt when I skipped over the Jewish houses during the plague of the firstborn. V'omarti, and I announced at that time, Kili b'nei Yisrael avodim, the Jewish people are servants, meaning, and as we saw before, avodai heim, and velo avodim lavodim, they're my servants, and not servants of servants. And I troubled myself to take them out of bondage to freedom. And this guy that wants to remain a servant, and he acquired for himself a master, let his ear be bored in front of them, in front of those witnesses, the door and the doorposts. And now the new Mishnah. Up till now, in the last few dapim, we've been discussing the Eved Ivri. How is he acquired? How does he acquire his freedom? On the side, we have a nosei, Darkei Kinyan be'Eved Kanani. Methods in which a heathen servant is acquired. Ba'Mishnah Muzkar, in the Mishnah, reference will be made to Kesef Shtar Chazaka, the payment of money, a document, and chazaka, we'll say the use of him as a servant. But Braisa, in the Gemara, the Braisa will add chalipin, the symbolic gesture that we refer to as kinyan chalipin, the handkerchief approach, where the master, we'll say, gives a handkerchief to the one that owns the slave, and in exchange you get the slave from his previous owner. And Shmuel introduces Meshicha, the Kinyan Meshicha, the literally drawing him unto you. We now glance, or I should say, read the Mishnah. Eved Knani nikne bekesef ubishtar ubechazaka. An Eved Knani, a heathen slave, is acquired through the payment of money, through a document, a title, ubechazaka, and alternatively through use. V'kina es atzmo, and he gains his freedom, his release from servitude. B'kesef al yedei achirim, that means others would give money to the master, saying, "Take this money," and in exchange for the money, release the slave. Rashi says, "B'kesef al yedei achirim shi'itnu l'rabo," these outsiders would give money to the master, ben chorin, on condition that the master will now set him free. Avol hu atzmo lo yikabel mehem, but the servant himself, this Eved Kenani himself, shall not receive the cash from them. Ve'afilu amanas she'en l'rabo yishus bo. In other words, this first opinion of the Mishnah is saying that outsiders should not give the cash to the servant, and the servant in turn would give the cash to the master, even if they stipulate when giving him the cash, Almanas Shein the Rabbi Rishus Bo, we're giving you this money on condition that your master doesn't have any holding in it when we give it to this slave. And the idea behind that would be the slave would be using his own money to then buy himself free. But this opinion is saying that will not work. The Kosovar ain't kinyin leved bolarabo. This opinion holds that a servant does not have acquisition powers independent of his master. So that if money is going to be the vehicle through which the servant will be released, those outsiders who are redeeming him, who are freeing him, would have to pay the money directly to the master. Continuing in the Mishnah, Ubishtar al yedei atzmoi. Rashi says, Ubishtar de atzmo shikablenu hu. The servant would have to himself receive the freedom document. Divrei Rebbe Meir. We're talking here not about the shtar of acquisition, but rather the shtar, the document of freedom. We call it a shtar shichrub. That would have to be given to the servant himself, not others receiving on his behalf. That is Divrei Rebbe Meir. This has been Rebbe Meir's approach. V'chachomim omrim, you'll see the Chachomim have a reversal or an opposite approach to these two methods. They say, b'kesef ayedei atzmo, the servant himself gives the money to the master, and ubishtar ayedei achirim. And when it comes to the freedom document, others would have to receive it on his behalf. Ubavachi akesef mishel achirim. When we speak about the servant giving the money to the master, provided the money is coming from an outside source. To suggest that the heathen slave has his own cash fund, that just doesn't exist. For if he finds anything or he receives a gift, it all belongs to his master. So that if he's coming to redeem himself through money, it would have to be someone else's money that was given to this servant with a stipulation. We're giving you this money on condition that your master has no holding in it, no ownership of it. So then it becomes the slave's own money because of the stipulation, and the slave would give that money to the master, buying himself free. The Gemara opens with one word, but it's a question concerning that which we've learned, minolon, from where do we know the points taught in the Mishnah. Dichtiv. V'snachaltem oisom livnechem acharechem loreshes achuza. The Pasuk speaks about one bequeathing unto his heirs, heathen servants, his heirs, meaning his sons that follow him, as an inheritance. The psukim that are relevant to this source, you can see we've included on the side of Vayikra Perek Chof Hei. We've noted psukim Mem Dalid, Mem Hei, and Mem Vav. The psukim read, and let's look at them together just to get a little flavor of the context. The pasuk says, the slaves and bondmaids that you got from the nations around you, mehem tiknu eved v'ama, those you acquire. V'gam mibnei hatoshavim agorim imochem, mehem tiknu umimishpachtom asher imochem asher holidu ba'artzachem v'ayu lochem l'chuza. These particular psukim are, looks, I call them leading up to the pasuk that the Gemara cited, but they're giving you the spirit of whom we're talking about. We're talking about heathen slaves, those that you acquire from the surrounding nations of Israel. Pasuk mem vav, v'snachaltem oisom livnechem achreichem l'reshes achuza l'oilem b'em tavodu, and they are subject to being inherited by your descendants. And you shall always enslave them. However, fellow Jews, one shall not enslave like work, like one is entitled to do with regard to heathen slaves. The Gemara asks, so where do we know the teachings of the Mishnah? We read the pasuk already. The pasuk compares avodim kananim, these heathen slaves, to achuza, to an inheritance field. Ma ste achuza nikne bekesef bishtar b'chazaka, just like an inheritance field is acquired through those means of acquisition. Kesef, cash, and shtar, a deed. Chazaka, the use of the property as an owner. Af evet knani nikne bekesef bishtar ubechazaka. Likewise, the heathen slave is acquired through those means. Imas de achuza chozeres l'bayim v'yovel. If we're already comparing the servant, the heathen slave, to the ste achuza, when a person sells an inheritance field, when the jubilee year comes about, the property that may have been purchased by some buyer, he must return it to the original owner. So, af eved kanani chozer l'bayim v'yovel, by virtue of the comparison between the eved, the slave, and the inheritance field, are you going to say the same thing, that if you bought an eved kanani, when the yovel year comes about, you have to return the slave to the original owner? Talmud lomar li'oilom bohem tavodu. Therefore, the pasuk added in pasuk memvav that they remain permanently enslaved to the owner who is currently in possession of them. It's very simply, they don't go back to any original owner. Tana af b'chalipin. And here we have a Tanaic source. It's not the Mishnah, but the Tanaic source says chalipin is also a means of acquiring an Eved Kanani. The Tana didon. This is a question. Why did our Mishnah not make mention of chalipin? Our Mishnah was interested in featuring those methods of acquisition that you do not find by portables, but methods of acquisition that have relevance to the acquisition, to the transaction of portables, our Mishnah was not interested in teaching. And chalipin is a method of transfer of ownership that has relevance to portables. Omar Shmuel, Eved Kanani Nigne B'Mashicha. Here we have a new method of acquisition. The Eved Kanani is acquired through Mashicha, through your drawing him unto you. Ketzad. So here the Gemara wants further clarification. How is that? Tokfoy Ubo Etzlo Kono. If you forcibly, with strength, proactively drew him unto you, and he came unto you that way, that is a means of acquisition. Koro yabalo, if you called him and he came to you, lo kono, that is not an effective means of acquisition. So a new method was just mentioned by Shmuel Meshicha. Bishlam alotana didan milsodisa bemetatul lokotani. The less of a metatul lokotani. I understand our Mishnah's consideration in not mentioning Meshicha. Why? Because our Mishnah mentions those methods of acquisition that have no relevance to portables. And Meshicha, drawing an item unto you, has applicability to portables. Therefore, our Mishnah did not include it. Ela Latana Bora Nisne Meshicha. The Brisa that we saw, the Tanaic source that we saw 4 lines above, it was rather short, Tzidaf B'metaflin. Why does he not make mention of Meshicha as well? He mentioned Af B'chalipin, and it was suggested that Chalipin is something that has relevance to portables. Why not mention Meshicha? Answer, Ki Kotoni, the Brisa above that featured Chalipin, Milsa D'Isa Bain B'mekarkoi Bain Metatli. That type of acquisition that has relevance, whether it be land or portables. Meshicha de Metatli Sumekakulesa. Meshicha, drawing something, has relevance to portables alone, not to karka. Lo Kotoni. He didn't want to mention it as a means of acquiring an Eved Kenani. He wanted to make mention only those methods of Kenyan that have relevance to land. And as we said, Meshicha works only by portables. It doesn't work in the case of land. This is a quote from above. Keitzad tubo etzei konoi. Korobo etzo lo kono. By physically overpowering him and drawing him unto you, that is effective. Or by simply calling him and his coming to you, that's not an effective means of acquisition. The Gemara asks, for koro lo, and calling the slave is not effective, Tanya. We have a Tanaic source which deals with acquisition of a behema, of an animal. And it says, Ketzad b'mesira, the next line will have more relevance to our discussion, where it says, Ketzad b'meshicha, and we've dashed, underlined, Kore lo v'hiba, calling it and its coming is meshicha. The source, as we indicated, has more than just that which we're focusing on. So we continue with the entire source. It says by behema acquisition, Ketzad b'mesira. There's a method of acquisition called mesira. Ochsa b'talfa b'sayra b'kuf sholeo. If the purchaser held its hoof, the hair on its back, Rashi makes mention sayra like the hair on the mane of a horse. B'ukuf sholeo, the saddle upon it, or shlif shaleha. These are other appurtenances. Rashi says shlif is a masui, a package, a burden that's upon it. Bepumbiu shebefia, this is an appurtenance that's fitted into its mouth. Might be something like a bit. And a bezuk shebetzavora, the bell around its neck. So holding upon any of these things, kana, will result in your acquiring the animal. Ketzad b'meshicha. What about the meshicha method? How is that done? Korei lo v'hiba. Oshik yishu b'makiv rosa l'fanav. Or you hit it with a stick and it moved, it ran in front of you. But we've dashed on the main point is calling the animal and it comes to you as a result of your calling it. Or there's more methods of meshicha. Hitting it with a stick and it runs. Kevon she'okro yad v'regel kona. As we spoke about the animal moving, it's enough for it to raise a front leg and a hind leg. That is your acquisition. That shows you've accomplished meshicha. Ravasi v'yamri lo ravacho. Ravasi, some versions have ravacho. Omer ad she'talech lefonav m'lo kamosoi. Meshicha is not accomplished until the animal walks its entire body length. But what do we see here? We see that karoi ubaloi is an effective method. Why then the Gemara, when it's describing the acquisition of an Evet Kanani through Mashiach, it approved only of Tukfa Yubai, so where you proactively grabbed hold of him and drew him onto you, as opposed to summoning him? The Gemara answers, there's a difference between our approach to a human servant versus an animal. Amri, the answer. Behemo Adaita Demor Osla. When an animal moves, it's moving because of the master's summoning it. Eved, when a slave moves as a result of the person, the owner, calling it, Adaita Denafshe Kozal, that's his own internal decision to move, to walk. So it's not, it doesn't show any element of subservience. And therefore, calling a human being, a heathen servant, and he comes to you, is not an act of ownership per se. It's rather something he's doing on his own volition. Omar Rav Ashi, Eved Koton Kebehema Domi, a minor who doesn't have his, we'll say, his own mature level of understanding and decision making. When a minor is summoned, he is like a behema in the sense that the summoning and the child's walking toward you would be a legitimate form of acquisition, like a behema. Tana Rabbanan, Ketzad b'chazaka. One of the methods mentioned above was chazaka. Hitir lo min olo. If the servant that you're acquiring takes off or undoes your shoe, or the servant carries your clothing, your change of clothing to a bathhouse. If the servant washes you or smears you, anoints you with oil, or scrapes your body, or clothes you, puts your shoes on. And mention was made here of higbio, raised you, kono, then you have acquired him. Omar Rabbi Shimon. Now, Rabbi Shimon says something that's not clear. The Gemara will try to clarify it. Omar Rabbi Shimon, lo tehe chazoka gedola mehagba, shagba kina b'chol mokayim. It shall not be that chazoka should be greater than hagbah, where we know that hagbah is effective in all places. In general, if you are acquiring something and you're in the domain of the seller, if you pick up the item that the seller is giving you, even though you're standing in his domain, your raising of the item is a means of acquiring. It's as if you're bringing it into your own domain. That's a special power of Hagbah that you won't find by other methods of kinyan, other methods of acquisition. So we ask, the Gemara asks, my ka'omar, and Rashi elaborates a little bit here. Let's look at Rashi together toward the end of the narrow lines. My ka'omar, my inyan Hagbah de Alma l'Hagbah de Hacha. What's the relevance or the connection between general Hagbah to Hagbah featured over here? We're talking about the acquisition of a heathen slave. Hagbah the Amo, when we see Hagbah in general, Lokeach, the purchaser, Magbiach Hefetz, purchaser is raising the item that he wants to acquire. V'hacha Amrinosh Eved Magbio, Mishum Avoda. And here we're speaking about the servant picking up the master as a sign of the servant being in service. He's the master, let's say, has to get up to some step up to a higher point. So the servant picks up the master, enabling him to step up to a higher point. That's Mishum Avoda. Shalokeach Mishabe Bo Liknosa B'chazoka. The person who is acquiring the lokeach, the purchaser of the slave, is enslaving him in order to inquire him through this method called chazaka. So, like, just because it's the same sounding word, why introduce it? Why does Rabbi Shimon bother mentioning general chazaka with what the Tanakhama is describing, a simple service of the slave for the benefit of the new owner? So, my komar, as we said, what's the connection between kinyan hagbo in general and what the Tanakhama is describing? Omar Rav Ashi. So Rav Ashi, we'll say, presents the Tanaic source as follows. It's what we have here is his, Rav Ashi's, we'll say, understanding of the Tanaic source. That's why we have a dashed frame around this section. It's not an actual Tanaic source, but it's Rav Ashi's understanding. So the Tanakhama is now speaking. Higbio hu l'rabo kono. If the servant picks up the master, the master needs to reach a higher height. So the servant is in service of the master. That's a means of acquisition. It shows he's demonstrating enslavement, which is what we're trying to accomplish with this kinyan. So if the servant picks up the master, that master thereby acquires him. Higbio rabo lo kono. But if the master picks up the slave, that's not a means of acquisition. Oh, I'm Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon reacts and says, lo tehe chazoka gedoyla mehagbo. We can't have a situation where chazoka is more effective than Hagbah. Shagbah kina b'chol makom. Hagbah works under all circumstances, and therefore, if the master picks up the slave, that too will be an effective means of kinyan. Hashtu di amris higbio hu l'rabo kono. Now that we're saying that when the slave raises the master, that's a means of acquisition that everyone agrees with. He is the slave is acting in service of the master. Elo me'ato. Well, now shivcha k'nainis tikne b'bia. We should allow a shivcha k'nainis, a heathen slave, to be acquired through beyond, through intimacy, through an act of intimacy. Let's just assume that in the act of intimacy, so the man is upon the woman. She's raising him up. Would you say that is a legitimate means of acquiring a shifcha k'nainis? The Gemara responds, ki kuamrinon, when we say that hagbah, this form of hagbah where the slave raises the master as an act of acquisition on the part of the master, that's zenevezemitstaya. That's where the owner is benefiting and the servant is experiencing discomfort, strain, pain, if you will. Hacha, in the case of intimacy, zenevezenehu. They're both benefiting. So it's not an act of servitude when the shifcha would be enjoying it or benefiting from it. The Gemara asks, okay, well, shelo kedarka ma'ikul ameimar. What would you say about a case of intimacy done in the shelo kedarka fashion? That's a case where the man inserts, has intimacy in, through the, we'll say, the posterior of the female. And she is, let's say, below, and upon him is the master, so she's raising him. And in suggesting this, we're from context, you can see that, well, this would be where he's enjoying or benefiting, and supposedly she is not. Well, Homa Rav Achai Bar Ada Demin Acha. So Rav Achai from Acha says, Man Le Malon De Lavano Yisluhu L'Travayu. Who is to say that they don't both experience enjoyment or pleasure in that, and therefore it wouldn't be a means of acquisition? And furthermore, Mishkevei Ishuk Siv, when we speak about male-female intimacy, the term mishkeve isha appears in the Torah. Hikisha kosuv kedaka l'shalo kedaka. The Torah compares whatever standards we apply to kedaka to the lo kedaka method. And if in the kedaka method we're saying there's that will not acquire, shalo kedaka will also not acquire. Rav Yehuda Hindua is the place that he is from. Rashi says, Me'eretz Kushi, from the land of Kush, name of a country. So, and Rav Yehuda came from that area. Ger She'ein Loi Yorshin Havei. So Rav Yehuda Hindua was a convert. And a convert is a person who joins the Jewish people. And at that point, he is like a newborn individual. And hence, even if he had children before his conversion, they are not related to him anymore. So the Rav Yehuda Hindua was a convert who has no heirs. Let's say, obviously, we're describing a person who converted, and after his conversion, he didn't have any more children. So this gentleman, Rav Yehuda Cholash, he took ill, deathly ill. Earl Marzutra Lishulebe. Marzutra went to visit him, to do Bikur Cholim, visiting of the sick. Chazi the Tokifle Alma Tuva. He noticed that Rav Yehuda was in very bad shape. He was in the throes of death. Omar Le Avdei. Marzutra, the one who was visiting, seeing Rav Yehuda in this terrible strait, Marzutra said to Rav Yehuda's servant, Shloifli Mesanoi Fiamtinu Lebesa. Take off my shoes and bring them to my house. What Marzutra is attempting to do is gain ownership of the slave at the moment that Rav Yehuda Hindua dies. So you don't have any point in time where the slave is on his own. So Marzutra, by instructing him, the slave, to take off the shoes and carry them to his house, he was hoping that during that point in time, it would coincide with the demise of Rav Yehuda Hindua. Ika Diamri, some say, as far as a version of this story, Godol Havi, that slave was an adult. And the Gemara continues at the top of Daf Chof Gimel. Ze Piresh Lamisov, Ze Piresh Lachayim. The Ger, namely Rita Hindua, would die, would go off to death, and Marzutra would go off to life, meaning he'd go off with having acquired the slave. And as an adult, you can see there's no point, there's no time in which he was independent whereby he would have acquired his own freedom. He was in constant service while this transition was taking place. The Ika the Amri, another version of the story, is Katan Havi. In fact, the servant was a minor. And even so, the Marzutra was insistent on his being in constant service. Udaloka Abashol. And this insistence on Marzutra's part is not in accordance with Abba Shaul's approach to minors that are slaves. Desanya. We'll see Abba Shaul in this particular source toward the end of the source. Ger Shemes, a convert that dies, and we describe the convert as an individual who does not have heirs. Ubizbizu Yisrael Nechosov, and Jews took over his properties. Vahoyu Bohen Avodim, and amongst his properties were slaves, bein gedolim, bein ketanim, whether they are adult or they are minors, konu atzmon bnei chorin. Slaves of this ger shemes will acquire their own freedom. Abba Shaul Omer, and I think we should assume from the context that the Ger died, Jews took over his properties, but they didn't enslave the slaves at the time, and hence they gained their own freedom. They gained their freedom instantly, including the minors. Abba Sholmer, Gdelim Kanu Atzmon B'nei Chorin, the adults have the power of acquiring their own freedom. Ketanim, but the minors call Hamachzik B'en Zocha B'hen. And here Rashi adds the very important point where Rashi on the top line says, Udolo Ka'aba Shol, Diyomar Kol Hamachzik B'en Zocha, Afilu Li'achar Zman Zocha B'hen. According to Abba Shol, the owner, the ger owner, dies, and the minor slaves do not acquire their freedom immediately. Some Jew can come and enslave them even after a while, and he, the new owner, is entitled to keep them as slaves. Marzutra, you saw, according to the Ikar D'Amri version, the second version of the story, was dealing with the Rabbi Yehuda Hinder was minor servant, and even so, Marzutra was meticulous, he was diligent and concerned that the servant would not have any time where he's not enslaved, because if he would have had time where he's not enslaved, he would have acquired himself, his own freedom. And when a slave acquires his own freedom, he is considered a full-fledged Jew and cannot then be owned by someone else. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.